My name is Jack Pike, and I'm a physician assistant practicing occupational medicine in Connecticut. I would like to take this opportunity to tell you about the impact that CMDA has had in my life and encourage you to become a partner with the largest Christian healthcare organization in the world. I've been a member for about 20 years or so, and in that time have been so impressed with the breadth of ministries and services that members are able to tap into, whether it is mission activities, public policy information, malpractice support, or ministering to student and residents. And that doesn't even cover marriage encounters, women's programs, and a number of other important ministries. CMDA is blessed with the most dedicated and amazing staff who recognize that what they do is just not a job, but a calling in service to the Lord and to members. As an organization that was formed to serve the needs of physicians and dentists, CMDA has widened the umbrella of membership and welcomed physician assistants, nurse practitioners, nurses, physical therapists, pharmacists, and other healthcare professionals. For the last 5 years, I've had the immense privilege of serving on the Board of Trustees and having a more in-depth understanding of the scope of CMDA's value to Christian healthcare professionals. I couldn't more highly recommend that you become a member of CMDA.
Well, welcome to CMDA Matters during this Advent season. I'm your host, Dr. Mike Chupp, the CEO of CMDA. I pray that especially during this Christmas season of celebration, that the peace of Christ will rule in your hearts. Paul told the Colossians that we who are Christ's followers are called to peace. I'm so glad that Jack Pike did the intro today and reminded us about becoming an official member of CMDA. Just go to cmda.org/membership. If you are not an official member, you can do that today. You know, there are all sorts of benefits, and the one that we are highlighting right now is our new CMDA Learning Center with over 50 hours of Category 1 credit courses available to you free if you're a member. Today, my guest is family medicine physician and residency program director, Dr. Mitch Dunick from the In His Image program in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Our conversation today will focus on how we can instill spiritual resilience into residents who are in training and be proactive in discipling them even during these challenging times, training and discipling under the COVID cloud. I invite you to listen in now to our recent conversation as I was joined by co-host Dr. Doug Lindberg, the director of our CMDA Center for Advancing Healthcare Missions. Well, today our special guest on CMDA Matters is Dr. Mitch Dunick, and he's the president and CEO of In His Image Incorporated and the program director of In His Image Family Medicine Residency. And I've been hearing about this residency actually for many years, and actually had a couple of partners up in Michigan who are graduates of that program, just solid family physicians. And this program emphasizes training doctors in Christ-centered whole-person medicine and preparing them to care for the medically underserved in the United States and globally. Many of the graduates of this program are actually right now serving overseas as full-time medical missionaries. Dr. Dunick also happens to be the CEO of In His Image International and Good Samaritan Health Services. He's board certified by the American Board of Family Medicine and is a fellow of the American Academy of Family Medicine. And just the list of countries, Dr. Dunick, that you have been to over the years is so impressive. India, Kenya, Ghana, Afghanistan. I can't go through the list. And then, of course, you served as medical missionaries with your wife, Leah. You have 6 children and 6 grandchildren. You served at Manna Mission Hospital in Ghana, West Africa for 2 years. And then also, when we were together down in Houston at the M3 conference, you told me about the time serving in Afghanistan. So welcome to CMDA Matters, Dr. Dunick.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here with you.
And I've asked to join me today as a co-host, Dr. Doug Lindberg, who is the director for our Center for Advancing Healthcare Missions. So welcome, Dr. Doug to this program, the CMDA Matters Today.
Thank you, Dr. Chupp, and welcome, Dr. Dunnick.
So Dr. Lindberg is joining us from the metropolitan area of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, because halftime now, he is working in an urgent care clinic as a family medicine specialist, and then the other half devoting to helping us with advancing healthcare missions at CMDA. Well, Dr. Dunnick, we invited you here today because we wanted to talk a little bit about how educators can help instill spiritual resiliency into the hearts and lives of the residents they work with. And you have been the program director now for how long in Tulsa at In His Image?
Been a little bit over 20 years now, but it's been about 30 years since I've been on the faculty here. It's amazing to imagine that. Time flies, I guess, when we're having fun and doing good stuff. So yeah, it's been quite a few years.
Well, a lot of questions that we have for you today, but certainly in 2020, with all kinds of curveballs being thrown in taking care of patients, and now on top of that, medical education, what are some of the biggest challenges that you have faced as a medical educator in the midst of this COVID-19 cloud?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, this thing hit us pretty hard. If I look at the big picture, I say residency training is hard. Being a doctor is hard. I kind of try to talk people out of being a doctor and tell them, you know what, only do it if nothing else works for you, because it's a huge responsibility. It's quite a demanding life course, and it takes a big commitment if you're going to be good at it, and people deserve excellent, well-trained docs. So, you know, residency is hard. Sometimes I tell people, you know, when you get done with dental school, you're a dentist. When you get done with law school, you're a lawyer. When you get done with seminary, you're a pastor. When you get done with medical school, you're a resident. It's like, wow, now the work really begins. So it is quite demanding, but it's a huge responsibility. And at the same time, I would say a huge privilege to be a physician. People all over the world would do anything they could if they could come to America and be a doctor. So it's a privileged position, but a hugely responsible position that requires and demands a lot out of people. So with this COVID situation, already you're in a demanding situation of long hours, tough patient care issues. You're doing patient care, but you're studying and going to lectures and trying to prepare for tests and certification exams. And then this COVID thing hits us, and it really stood everything on the end. I think we were very fortunate being in the middle of the country. It was and continues to be a little bit different than on the east and the west coast, but our clinic was asked to be the COVID clinic, the COVID outpatient center for the entire health system I don't know how many docs, but well over 500 physicians in our health system and a lot of outpatient centers. So we were asked, they said, you guys know how to do this kind of stuff. You know how to deal with epidemics and pandemics and challenges. So we're gonna kind of ask you to do this. So since the 1st of March, our residents and faculty have been running every weekday a respiratory COVID clinic and testing people and examining people and trying to stay up with the new treatments and trying to stay up with the diagnostic modalities and the quarantine. And it's really been a moving target, because as everybody knows, every week for sure, and sometimes almost daily, new information has come out. And it did put a bit of a strain, I think, on our whole system and on the residents, because all of a sudden, right on top of the normal academic things you're doing and the normal patient care things you're doing, we've got this new infection that we just don't know what to do about it. And trying to stay safe, trying to stay healthy, trying to protect ourselves and care for our patients, keep the panic level down a little bit, because there's just a lot of paranoia, a lot of panic, a lot of misinformation. The great news that I have is now it's been quite a few months and we've not had one of our resident doctors or one of our faculty doctors have a positive COVID test. We've tested quite a few of them. Now, one guy got it because his dad came up for graduation from Florida and gave it to him, but that's the only one. And really, we've had some people investigated, but we've not had anybody miss work for it. And even our medical assistants in our clinic. So, you know, we wash hands and do masking, and we're doing all the patient care stuff. Is we've got a nice little drive up in the back of our clinic, so we're doing that all outdoors. But we've not gotten anybody that's missed work and gotten sick. And that's a huge blessing. And even we were doing a lot of inpatient care too, with COVID patients at the start. So that's a really a big blessing. And I think we've learned a lot, but it's put a pretty big strain on everybody.
Mitch, you're an educator, you're a leader. How do you see and how do you advise leaders and medical educators, be they preceptors or mentors or residency directors? How do you stay resilient yourself through this time? And even more, how do you instill and pass on spiritual resiliency to your med students and residents who you're working with through this COVID-19 era?
You know, that's a great thing to ask and to wonder about. And one of the things I wonder is, what do people do that don't know God? How do you approach these kinds of things? Right. But I even thought about medicine sometimes. If there's not a God and he's not here helping us and he's not here loving people, how do I deal with the frustrations, with the hours, with the disappointments, with the failures, if I don't know there's a God and he's good and he loves us and helps us? And I've heard from a lot of programs around the country, it kind of exactly that question, that, you know, there's a big push on wellness and keeping people healthy. But also in a lot of training programs, residents pushing back and going, I didn't sign up for this and I'm not going to do it. And programs actually saying, we're not going to have our residents involved in taking care of COVID patients in the hospital or out of the hospital. And our approach is like, you know what? You're in medicine. You pick this as your profession. You pick this as your specialty. These are sick people, and we need to be at the forefront. Now, we don't want to be cavalier, but we also want to say, you know what? We believe that God is in our lives. He's directing our lives. And this is no great surprise to him. And why don't we, as followers of Jesus, step up and lead the way and step up and say, we're going to take care of the hurt and we're going to take care of the suffering. But then at the same time, let God take care of us. Because whether it's COVID or just long hours in healthcare, or whether it's international mission work where the lines are endless, the physical needs and demands of the patient are infinite, how do you do that? And I think it's really finding a way to go to God and say, God, I'm going to do the best I can with what you've given me, but I need your power and I need your strength. And if I do this in my own ability every day, and even in my own God-given abilities, I'm going to get tired. I'm going to get worn out. I'm going to get frustrated. And at the end of the day, saying, I did the best I can, and I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to roll my cares over to you. And then I'm going to find a way to take care of myself. We talk about that quite a bit with our residents. What do you do for self-care? And I'm not talking about feeling sorry for yourself. And I'm not talking about, you know, just whining and saying, oh, I need more time off. My hours are too long. My profession is too hard. No, it is long and it is hard, demanding. But Jesus got away. You know, there were times he slipped away and got away. So we talk about what refreshes you, what restores you, what are you doing to fill up your tank when you spend all day pouring it out to other people? We talk about the 7 habits of highly successful people. The last one is keeping your saw sharp. How do you keep that saw sharp? By rest and by spending time with God, spending time with people that are positive. For me, it's, man, put the headphones on, get some worship music, get outside, get some fresh air. But really that has to be developed as a lifestyle, because if we don't do that, we come to the end of our ability really soon.
You know, I would think that you do, as you mentioned earlier, have a distinct advantage as a Christian resident, see it in his image. And certainly the body life, the caring community, I would assume from day one that your residents start already having an advantage in thinking about body life, and that each resident, like Paul said to Romans, each member belongs to all the others in terms of helping with that resiliency. These new residents, they enter your program in his image, and I'm assuming that because of your residency and they see what the graduates do and what your current residents are doing, they come in already with a great deal of idea of the purpose and meaning that God has put into their lives. But how do you grow that through the period of a residency, and what principles have you guys learned in his image that others listening in, and even secular programs, could apply to their interactions and training and bringing up the next generation of caring, Christ-like healthcare professionals?
You know, it's an ongoing thing. I do think we've learned things over the years about what works. You know, we have a couple retreats a year and just say, okay, we're off, we're done, stop, get away, catch your breath. We talk about what do you do on your vacations, but even we talk about what do we do every day. So in the hospital, you know, before we start our checkout early in the morning, okay, we're going to stop, get the word of God out, put a couple songs on, let's worship God. Worship and singing together has always been a part. It's kind of one of the things that we just do. And even sometimes it's sort of annoying. It's like, oh, we got to sing again. No, we're going to sing because we're going to like refocus our brains and do that. And encouraging people to do that in their personal life is important. Residency is harder than people expect. I just met with half of our first years and I said, hey, how's it going? We're in October. And, you know, some of them are like, this is way harder than I could have imagined. Because I think what I see is medical school is getting easier. Not necessarily intellectually, but the requirements of medical students in the third and fourth year is less. They're mostly observers. They don't get to touch patients. They don't get to do very much. Their hours are 8:30 till 4:30. And then they hit residency and it's brutal because there's so much to learn. So we try to really tell people this is going to be hard. It's going to be the hardest thing you ever did. It's going to be the most demanding thing you've ever done. And that's not bad. It's almost like boot camp in the military. It's like there's a future coming here that's really important and you got to get ready for it. But we're going to be alongside you and we're going to help you. And you're never alone. And we're going to talk about stuff. And when you're having a tough day, let's talk. When you're having a great day, let's talk. Let's take care of each other. Let's not compete with each other for, you know, the best score, the best test, the best evaluation. Let's go. We're going to all finish this thing strong. And I think having that camaraderie, that body of Christ thing, saying we're all in this for a purpose and we're training because of what God has called us to in the future. There's a purpose here that's important. I talked to a neurosurgeon not too long ago who's my friend. He's a believer and he's excellent. He's married and he's got kids and he's well-recognized. He makes a potload of money and he was just really, really frustrated and disappointed and upset with administrative things and health economic things and the politics of the hospital. And he's like unloading on me. And when he finally took a breath, I said, so why did you go into medicine? And there was this long pause. And he said, can we go to lunch sometime? And I think it was very telling of, you know, what our purpose is and what drives us makes such a big difference, even for believers, because it's very easy for us to get caught up into that same hassle and rat race and goal setting and orientation and focus as unbelievers, like nice ones. You know, if you have a really nice, kind, excellent, compassionate unbeliever, how is that different than what we as followers of Jesus do and look like? And we talk about that in residency a little bit. And then, you know, trying to pray for each other and pay attention. And it's kind of like raising kids, you know. You guys have kids, so do I. You hug them and you love them and you beat them and you care about them. You go on hikes with them. But then you got to let them grow up too and become men and women that are, you know, have their own walk with God and are independently strong. And if you don't go through tough stuff, you don't get tough. And if you don't go through problems, you don't develop the muscles that you need for what the future's going to hold for you. So it's I think an ongoing life. One of our theme verses here is 2 Timothy 2:2, where Paul says to Timothy, the things that you've heard and seen and watched in me, teach those to other faithful people, faithful men, who themselves can train others. So it's this process of teaching and training and role modeling and living alongside people so that we can continue passing stuff on to people.
COVID-19 has been like a nuclear bomb, has gone off in so many different areas of our culture and in our lives and in families and communities. And I'm sure that IHI and residencies in general are no exception to that. So could you kind of pull back the curtain a little bit and let us know what COVID-19 has done as far as just the residency goes with schedules, rotations, and also the faith walk and well-being of the residents and faculty that you have there?
Great question, man. It's good medical education on its ear. Right now, we're interviewing fourth-year medical students and finding out that March, April, and May of last year, they did their hospital clinical rotations virtually. So I'm like, just wondering, how prepared are they going to be residents when they've done a whole bunch of virtual rotations that are supposed to be patient care. We're going to find that out. We are interviewing people. A lot of residency programs are only doing virtual interviews, but we have a lot of people that come and do elective rotations with us that do a 2 or 4 week rotation, both in the hospital and out of the hospital. And while they're here, we interview them. We're giving people the option to apply and interview virtually, but some places are 100% virtual. The same with patient care. All of a sudden, no patients were coming to the hospital, and we were shut down for about 6 weeks. It was COVID only. So all of a sudden, what happens to your patient care experiences? I mean, that's a very narrow patient mix, right? It's just respiratory illnesses. And where's the hypertension and diabetes and well woman care and obstetrical care and all those kind of things? So it really made it a challenge. And we developed virtual care. All of our docs start calling patients at home and do virtual visits, seeing them on the screen and talking to them. And that got ramped up really fast. It's something we talked about for a long time, but it got ramped up really fast. There are some programs that are still doing 50 to 70% virtual visits, and we're probably back to about 80 to 90% in-person visits. We screen people at the door, and we're working at it that way. So it's required a lot of work and a lot of effort from people. And I think there's been this concern. You mentioned, Doug, and I think it's very appropriate. You know, there's isolation is a word that has come up for people. Even when you come to work, people kind of come to work and you're masked and you're gone and you're careful and you go home and you hang with your family. And the spouses and the kids have felt pretty isolated. We have resumed our regular get-togethers for the female spouses once a week, get together, and they do it with appropriate social distancing and masking. But they just said, we need to see each other. We're drying up being alone. And we've tried to find real creative ways to do things, do it outdoors, meet together and be safe. And I think it's worked well. There is, you know, a wide variety of ways that people approach these things, whether it's school, whether it's family, whether it's travel and things like that. And I don't think we're cavalier. I think we want to be safe, but we're trying to still live life and get out there. And even with the residents, I said, okay, what if you get it? You're young, you're in your 30s, you're healthy, you're going to be fine. And kind of get these big eyeballs looking at me. And I think maybe because I've lived in some hard places and gone to some tough places, I'm a little bit more thick-skinned about it, but I don't want to be, but I don't want us to live in fear.
Clearly, Mitch, you are working in a healthcare system that has its own agenda, its own priorities, and your residency is there training physicians to become family medicine. What are the challenges you face as a distinctly Christian residency in working with a hospital system? It's not been all roses, I'm guessing. Tell us just a little bit about how you negotiate that sensitive relationship and balance.
It's very important. When we deal with the hospital and hospital administrators, we always look for win-win-win relationships and situations. The very first time I went to our current hospital, I said, if we come here, we're going to be the best doctors you have. We're going to have the highest patient satisfactions, the lowest readmission rates, everything. Now, obviously, that was a little tongue-in-cheek, but I said, even though we're a training program, we want to practice excellent medicine, high quality medicine with high patient satisfaction. And in that milieu, we want to train young doctors. And they were a little surprised by that, because I think sometimes there's this feeling like, well, it's not going to be great medicine, and you've got your own issues, and we're going to have competing issues and all the time. But finding out what the healthcare system's agenda is and what their needs are, and being able to meet them is a big deal. Our faculty are our section chairs of family medicine. We sit in on committees. We sit on other things at the hospital and really try to make a positive contribution. And we have residents on the committees too, because we think if we contribute to what is important to them, they will see that, and they will value it, and they value what we do. If in the community people like us, it's good for the system. If we go on an international disaster trip and the health system gets a little press and a little PR that the health system went to this place to respond to the disaster. And we don't, so we just say, hey, we're part of this system. We just thought we ought to go. So sharing the successes, being honest about the needs. It's not easy all the time when you come down to tough financial things, saying, hey, you know, this is what I think we bring to the table, and this is what I think we're worth, and this is what we need to run this program. but it has to be mutually beneficial. It can't just be one directional, or, and that, I think that's true in every relationship, or it tires out quickly. But I think it takes some wisdom in that to say, what is important to people and how can I help them meet their goals? And then I'll become a valuable part of it. We're really blessed here because the CEO, the current CEO, and even the next in command are actually strong believers who love mission. So it's a unique opportunity, but they're under fiscal pressure too at the same time. So we try to help that out.
Well, Dr. Dunnick, thanks for joining us today on CMDA Matters. I just pray that your program will continue, that God's going to give you the right folks to train, and that they're going to continue to represent Christ well and expand God's kingdom within healthcare. Thanks for joining us today on CMDA Matters. And thanks, Dr. Lindberg, for being a great co-host today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much. God bless you all.
Well, Dr. Dunnick was kind enough after that interview to provide us with a list of other faith-based family medicine residencies just like in his image, and we will link to those in the show notes. Well, Dr. Dunnick mentioned his wife Leah's book, Finding Roses in the Dust, and we have that in our Life and Health resources. You can get that on web or calling our number that I'll give you shortly. We do have permission to mention that, as security is no longer a big concern for the Dunnicks. Well, I think you heard Dr. Dunnick mention that the road to becoming a physician is long and hard. I don't know if I've ever been quite as poignant with others as he has been in discouraging people to go into medicine if they're not fully committed. But I've also heard recently that right now, because of the COVID outbreak, the Fauci effect, so to speak, is leading to more medical school applications than ever before, record numbers. You know, if you have a pre-med student in your life, we do have a book entitled Preparing for a Career in Medicine, A Christian's Guide to Getting Into and Surviving Medical School by Dr. Kent Shih, S-H-I-H, M-D. It'll make a great Christmas gift if you have someone like that around. This book contains both factual and practical information about life in medical school, intertwined with solid theological discussion. It gives instruction on how to improve grades and MCAT scores, how to discern God's will about a career, how to prepare personally and spiritually for medical school, and also how to successfully navigate the interview process and how to avoid numerous pitfalls that await those who are applying. Whether they continue in their present plans or decide that medical school is not for them, this book will serve them well. You can find this book and many others at cmda.org/bookstore, or just call and order it, 888-230-2637. Well, I know you caught Dr. Dunnick describing how COVID-19 has added additional stress to all healthcare professionals. We care deeply about our members' holistic well-being, and we have several great resources for those who might be experiencing depression, anxiety, or burnout. You can access our CMDA Center for Well-Being at cmda.org/well-being. There you will find several helpful resources to care for yourself during this stressful time. The head of our Center for Well-Being, Dr. Sartori, also has recommended to us the American Medical Association's website and the Accreditation Council for Graduate Medical Education website for mental health resources at this time. Both of those are linked below this podcast on the web. Well, Dr. Sartori has been working for the last year or so on producing a podcast that he calls the Healthy Doctor Podcast. I've decided for CMDA Matters that we will actually be featuring one of these episodes our final week of the year, December 31st. But Dr. Sartori specifically suggested episode 22 entitled The Reflective Physician, which is linked to our show notes. If you're listening on a device other than your computer, you can access this podcast on the Center for Well-Being's page, or just go to cmda.org/healthydoctor. Well, speaking of using other devices, CMDA is making it easier than ever to listen to CMDA Matters. We have added CMDA Matters to Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn, and several new online platforms that make it easy to listen wherever you are. You can still find us on iTunes with Apple. Make sure you subscribe so you will never miss even a single weekly episode. I've been asked to let you know that our ministry, Global Health Outreach, is asking for your help. The coronavirus has been devastating to the Navajo Nation, and they are requesting specifically more registered nurses, licensed practical nurses, and certified nurse assistants throughout the various sites, including inpatient, critical care, med-surg, and their emergency room. They're asking for a 2-week minimum commitment, but of course, they'll welcome longer-term commitments. If you feel led to serve in this capacity, just go to cmda.org/gho and click the big red button on the right to find a trip, or just email us at gho@cmda.org. We've been talking about our first conference that will happen in 2021, and that is Remedy 2021, Bringing Hope and Healing to a World that is in Crisis. This conference will challenge you to be on mission every single day, right here in traditional U.S. medical and dental practices, as well as abroad, cross-culturally. Our goal is to stimulate your imagination, so you will consider how you might do this starting now, through education as well as your training, and even as you practice healthcare every day. Please join us for 2 half days in January, the 9th and 10th, for worship and live TED-style talks from New York, Tennessee, and California. Plus, you'll be able to ask speakers your questions in live chat sessions. You'll be able to visit our exhibit hall virtually and chat with representatives from healthcare and service organizations. You can also join live meetups after the official conference has concluded. Remedy 2021 is sponsored by Christ Community Health Fellowship, California Baptist University, and of course, the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. I wanted to take a couple of minutes to share with you a testimony that we recently received from one of our graduate members who had a great experience of being mentored when he was in medical school, and he wrote to me, "Dr. Chup, I was baptized 2 weeks before graduating college, right before I was about to start medical school at UC Davis. This would be my first time moving hundreds of miles away from my church, family, and college girlfriend who would eventually become my wife 3 years later. I was saved during my junior year after a study of Genesis, 1 Timothy, and Revelation revealed the futility of my reliance on science and good works, and had no idea where my faith should go next. I knew I wanted to be a doctor and be involved in church. I knew the world needed to hear the gospel of Christ. I knew that I had the opportunity to unique mission fields through medicine. And I knew I wanted to glorify God in my friendships, my future marriage, and my career. My campus advisor at UC Davis on the CMDA team lived out her faith and showed me how. As a young believer with unsaved parents, I looked up to these physicians who could use their professional calling to go and make disciples. They were wise with their time and generous with their finances. They saw the people around them as souls who needed Jesus. They remained faithful at their local congregation and used CMDA to disciple younger believers. They traveled in mission trips to use medicine as a vehicle to reach distant people groups. They were excellent physicians as well, who exemplified for me 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Proverbs 31 in their personal and professional lives. In addition to being a role model, my campus advisor was my close friend. She went to my wedding. I went to her baby shower. I prayed and mourned with her when an adoption did not work out as planned. We broke bread together over holidays, weekly lunch meetings, weekend Bible studies, and regional CMDA conferences. You know, as I look for ways to serve and use my calling as a physician at Kaiser, where I work, I feel like discipleship through CMDA is a great way to reach a group of young souls who need mentors and see that their training is far from purely medical. There's a greater world out there beyond the books and rotations, and their faith should not take a back seat to medical training. You know, my prayer for you today, especially if you'll join us for the Remedy Conference and be challenged by role models, people who are living out their faith on mission in healthcare, that conference will be a fruitful blessing in your life as it has been for others. You can register and get more information about this conference at cmda.org/remedy. Well, as I close, I just wanted to share that story with you from the physician working in the Kaiser Network, because it's such an incredible testimony of the power of the gospel, personal discipleship, and the value of a welcoming community of Christian healthcare professionals. I hope that this story inspires you with the impact your CMDA is having in the lives of so many. Even as I record this podcast, stories like this are being birthed all around our nation. With ministries on more than 329 healthcare campuses, together we are making a difference in the lives of thousands of students every week. You know, during December, so many of you have been responding generously to give and to help the many ministries of CMDA to help us have the resources and staff needed to see lives transformed through the power of the gospel. As you prayerfully consider your support, I wanted to share that a member graciously offered a $100,000 matching gift for gifts received by Christmas Day, December 25th. And the news is even better since we first announced this available match. A little over $55,000 has already been received toward this matching gift. To God be the glory, and thank you, members, for your generosity. I know that seeing students' lives and residents and other young believers and older believers to see their lives transformed for Christ, changing hearts and healthcare, it matters to you. And because it matters to you, it matters to CMDA, and CMDA matters. Well, next week, my special guest is Dr. Henry Williams, who's chairman of the board of the Tennessee Center for Bioethics and Culture, and he will be talking to us about gene editing, bioethics, and techniques. You won't want to miss it. We'll see you next week, God willing.
This podcast has been a production of the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. The opinions expressed by guests on this podcast are not necessarily endorsed by the Christian Medical and Dental Associations. CMDA is a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse political parties or candidates for public office. The views expressed on this podcast reflect judgments regarding principles and values held by CMDA and its members, and are not intended to imply endorsement of any political party or candidate.